So Liz, I understand that you are a St. Norbert pioneer. Where were you born?
In Winnipeg.
In what year?
1891.
How long did you live in St. Norbert? When did you first arrive in St. Norbert?
In 1900.
And for how many years did you live there?
Until 1968.
What is your maiden name?
Irene Joyle.
Did you complete high school in St. Norbert?
Yes, I did.
And I understand that you did quite a bit of teaching. How many years did you teach?
3 years and a half.
And where did you teach and how long in each place?
My first teaching, I'd nearly ashamed on a permit before I went to normal school. I taught there. Three months. Then I went to Dartmouth School in Winnipeg, which was at the corner of Gertie and Rhythm Avenue. And from there, somebody who went to the Department of Education wanted somebody that could speak and read and write French and English, as there were French people there. So that was the only one. There was among 75 pupils that could read and write the book languages. So I signed the paper there for the department, and it was a summer school.
And what was the name of that school?
Carnot.
And that was located in which town, or close to what town?
It was between, in the center of Lord Rathwell Treherne.
In that area, I see.
Yeah.
Was that a one-room rural school?
Oh, yeah, one-room school. And we had our residence at the back and two bedrooms upstairs.
I see. Then you left this summer school. At what time of the year?
On the 20th of November.
And you had no job, so what did you do?
Well, I waited until and went to the Department of Education and asked them if they had an opening for the month of January, 1910. And there, he said there was a school that would be vacant at the 1st of January. The teacher that was there was on a permit and she had to go to normal school. And as I already had my normal training, I would take the school. So I went there on the 7th, I guess, of January.
1910. So you went to Saint-Germain School?
Yes.
To teach there. Where was Saint-Germain, or where is Saint-Germain School located?
Well, it's in Saint-Vital today, but in my time it was in the Richard municipality.
I see. Do you know when the school was built?
No, it wasn't a new school.
When you got there, it wasn't a new school.
No.
Was it log? A log school? Or just frame school?
Oh, it was, no. It was a frame school.
Was it painted?
Yes, white.
Like all the other little schoolhouses?
All the schoolhouses were painted white.
Do you know why it was named Saint-Germain?
Well, the Saint-Germain was the one of the trustees. He was the president of the trustees, and this man had been to college, Santa Barbara's College, and he seemed to be more educated and have more pull than the others. So he gave names. And that time he was working in the offices in the immigration department of Winnipeg in the French and English Immigration Department.
Mm-hmm.
He used to go down there to the city every morning and come back every night, horse and buggy, in muddy roads too.
What were the boundaries of that school? Like, it took in all of Saint-Vital or all of St. Norbert on that side of the river? How big was the school district?
I couldn't tell, but on the north side, they had built a school 2 miles from there, because there was already too many children in my school. And there was a kind of a new development, a north part, and these people had asked for a school. And it was a one-room school, too. And the people came from the south. They came from about 2 miles or so. And the others, well, they went to the St. Norbert School and they crossed the river on the ferry.
What was the name of that school north of where you were? The school north of where you were.
That's the Pierre Campbell School.
How many years did you teach at Saint-Germain?
10. Two and a half years.
How many pupils did you have at that time? Many or?
Well, there was about 48 to 52 on the school roll, but I have far less in the wintertime because it's too far for the young ones to come.
And what grade was that?
The highest grade was a sixth grade.
And those 40-odd children, they'd come from how many families? They were large families in those days, so...
Yes. Well, I just don't really know. I think it was about 15 families.
Do you remember any of the names of the children?
Yes.
Could you give us something?
There was 10 families by the name of Norma. And three or four La Liberté. And there were some Saint-Germains that were cousins here and there, and some English people by the name of Sutherland and Saunders.
Who was
and
your
Derry?
Who was your inspector at the time?
I had several inspectors there. I had Potvin for one. And Goulet came out once, and Brunet, Gauthier's Brunet, was asked when they came.
When they came, what did they do? Just sit around and look at you teach, or did they give you hints, or?
They questioned the children to see how advanced they were and how they could write, and send some to the blackboard to write out certain words, and took out words out of the spelling, and looked how far advanced they were in the books, and looked at some drawings, which were very good, some of them. One of them, they couldn't learn hardly anything. He was about 11 years old, and he could draw profiles perfectly. He just lose his time during school drawing.
So the inspectors seemed to be pleased with the progress the children
yes.
were making.
Yes.
Who were the trustees? Who were the school trustees?
Well, at different times it was a different way. But the Saint-Germain was a the president, and then the Sheppy was the father Sheppy was the treasurer secretary, and
if you remember others, we'll talk about it after. Did you
know as the man that spoke Johnson, a man that spoke only English?
Did you have their support?
Well, yes, more or less.
They valued education? They knew what you were?
Yes. Some of them were not interested in education at all.
In what language did you give your formal instruction?
Oh, well, I couldn't say. It's just as much in English as in French, because the children there, they spoke quite a bit of English, because there were several English families along, and they were mostly bilingual.
And the children amongst themselves spoke French or English, as the case may be, like?
Oh, they spoke both on during recess.
See? Did the children like school?
Some did.
They came to school on time?
Some families were always late, and you used to play along with the road.
How about attendance? Did they attend regularly?
Well, the older boys worked sometimes in the summer, in the spring and in the fall. And the younger ones couldn't come in the wintertime, it was too cold. Southern had 2 miles to come.
Now, education was not compulsory in Manitoba then?
No.
Did you find that the parents' attitude reflected that?
Well, some did, but others didn't.
How was the children's behavior in school?
Well, I can't say anything against the children's behavior, because the children behaved in school. First of all, the parents, they expected the children to be nice to the teacher and to listen to the teacher. So I had no trouble then. And when I said something, they listened. I didn't have to put anybody in penance.
Was there a strap in the school?
No. I never strapped anybody nor hit anybody with a ruler. I just had to talk to them and they listened. I'll give them more. Some of them were smarter than others, and I felt sorry for them because they should have been in other schools with other pupils. But I had to give them additional work to keep them quiet.
You never had to dismiss any pupils for bad behavior?
Oh, no. Well, the parents would have thought it terrible.
So there was no real discipline problem then?
No.
Not like nowadays?
No. No, the children were taught to respect the teacher and the higher officials or anything.
We have a bell here. Is that the only piece of equipment you have?
Yes.
Now, this bell is quite the thing. Could you tell me about it?
Well, it's a sleigh bell. My father was a harness maker, and he put a piece of strap, leather strap, sewed it together at the end of the bell, and gave me that to call the pupils.
Was it also your desk bell inside the school?
No, I never used it inside of the school. I used it at recess.
Did you have a piano in that school?
Oh, no. We didn't even have a library.
What about a globe? A world globe?
We didn't have any either there. We had only an alarm clock.
An alarm clock, I see. What else on the wall? Would you have any pictures or a flag?
Well, there was no pictures that were furnished by the school board at all, but I often had different pictures that I had cut out, colored pictures out of magazines or things like that. And of animals and so on. It interested the children, especially the younger ones.
Was there a platform at the front of the school for your desk to be on?
Yes.
Did the children have school supplies, pencils?
No, nothing was supplied by this school board at all. They had to buy their own, everything their own, on their own.
Did the younger children use slates?
Yes, the younger children did use slates.
What about a printing set or cutouts or catalogs, cutting out pictures from the catalog, did you?
No, there was none of that because there was too many pupils, there was too many classes, and there was not enough time left to amuse yourself with the little children, smaller children. And they used to come to school at 5 years old. So the last inspector that came, there was just Brunette there, he told me, refuse the five-year-olds. We've got too many already in the school. There wasn't enough desks, not enough place to put the desks. They used to sit, some used to sit on the floor. They used to come, or in early spring, like in the month of April or so, to finish the year.
What readers did you use? Did you use Alexander readers or Victorian readers?
Well, I don't remember. It was the standard readers that were applied. That were certified by the government.
Did you have a set in French and a set in English?
Yes.
How did the pupils read? Did they get along pretty well?
Well, some did and some took longer to read as naturally anywhere else.
Did you read stories to your pupils? You said you had no library, but did you read any stories?
I never read stories, but I used to tell them stories during recess on the rainy days to keep them quiet.
Do you remember any of the favorite stories you like to tell?
Oh, well, I told them about Little Riding Hood and so on. And I can't remember that. Cinderella and those.
They didn't know those from home?
No, because many of the people didn't read and they didn't have any newspapers or anything.
Were some of the books you had in the Saint-Germain school when you taught the same as what you used when you went to school in St. Norbert?
Well, I couldn't tell. I think they had changed something. The arithmetic had been changed already.
Did you teach any handwork to the children, crochet or?
Oh, no, there was no time for that.
You had a real busy day. What subject or grade did you prefer teaching then? What was the age level you liked best and what subjects?
Well, I always liked better arithmetic. That was my favorite. And I had always won first prizes when I was in school. The last year when they were in grade 11, I had the gold medal. And in the grade 10, I had the silver medal, which was the last medal then. And in grade 8, I had a set of books.
So that was your favorite subject when you were in school, so you liked teaching it too?
Yes.
Were the grades called grades or levels or standards when you were teaching?
No, they were called grades.
Were there any left-handed pupils?
I don't think so.
Could you give me an idea of the daily routine of one day in Saint-Germain school? When did you start in the morning? And
well, in the winter time, we started at 9:30. And we finished at 4, and there was just an hour in dinner time. And in the summer, we started at 9, but they had an hour and a half, so some of them could go home to. And we had, in the morning, we started by prayer before 9 o'clock, 9:05, and then we had kind of exercises, with arms and legs and things like that. And then their school started, and they brought in the homework, because everyone that could write or started, I always gave them some homework. And they had exercise books where they started to write. There was two little lines, and they write it. And I used to prepare in the evening, after supper, in the boarding place, these exercises, the A's all along the line, and they had to fill in the page. That was done at night. And the others, they had additions or subtractions, or some that was at night, evening work, homework.
So after you got all this homework in the morning, then you'd proceed and teach other lessons?
Yes. And then I'd bring them home, and I'd bring the baby, the exercise book, back to them at my boarding house, and there I'd correct them. And the next day, well then, I would bring such a one to the desk and tell them, what was wrong, and so on.
Which grade usually got your attention first in the morning?
What was the grade 2? I had more pupils in grade 2, and the grade 1 was only 5-year-old, and some were really too young.
They were still asleep.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if they were asleep. But they weren't really interested. Just a few, 5 years old is too young to send a child to school, I think. It hasn't been to kindergarten or anything, because they have to start up right away.
Did your French lessons come before recess or after recess or in the afternoon? When did
It was all mixed up. It didn't matter.
You went from one language to the next, from one subject to the next.
Yeah.
What was sort of the last thing you did before 4 o'clock? Or 3:30.
Well, we had religious training and catechism.
That was the last half hour of the day.
Yes.
You taught all the grades together.
Well, yes. I used to explain different things, and I had bought pictures from a library, Kerouac Library, and pictures of the Nativity and Resurrection and things like that. And I explained to them and showed them.
Did the children know their prayers before they came to school, or that was your
very
domain?
Few.
Many times you were saying that you had no time, like you had to teach all day, no frills. Was the major purpose of the school considered to be teaching basic skills or vocational training or teach personality development? What did the trustees want you to do? Teach the basic skills or what?
Oh, it wasn't only the basic skills, that's all.
The three R's. It was reading, writing, and arithmetic.
And which is the principal thing, too?
Now, there were special days throughout the year. What were the school holidays in your time?
July, August. And we started the last week in August. As we had religious holidays, in those times. And the winter holidays were all through between Christmas and New Year's. And in some schools, it was only after the 6th of January, just the bent holiday calendar.
Mm-hmm. Now, for Christmas, did you prepare any concerts?
Well, we never had any concerts for Christmas because it was too far for everybody to come, and there was very few that did come. But for the last days, for the examination days, what we called, which were oral, we had concerts then. They had plays and different recitals, and some of them could sing and I used to keep them after 4 o'clock, and showed them different songs. And during the school, too, we had songs, different little songs that they learned, and they liked very much that song.
When you had little things during the year like that, were the parents invited to come?
Yes, the parents were invited to come, and the floors and everything was washed. The floors were just bare wood, and they were scrubbed by somebody that was hired, and they washed the windows, and the windowsill and everything was spick and span for the examinations.
So that was a big day.
Yes, that was a big day.
To come back to Christmas, like, even though you never had Christmas concerts, did you have a Christmas tree in the school?
No, there was none.
Were there any visitors to the school? Like, did the parish priest come, or...?
Yes, he used to come once a year, like after Christmas, and take the names of those that were that belonged to the church, and others didn't belong to this church.
Who was the parish priest then?
Father Cruzzi.
Did any of the nuns ever come to school, like the Grey Nuns, to help you with religious instruction?
No.
Did you prepare the children for First Communion and Confirmation?
Yes, I had to prepare them, but that was after school.
You mentioned a while ago having prayer in the morning. Did you have patriotic exercises too? Did you sing O Canada, and did you have a...
Yes, we sing O Canada at 1 o'clock. We sang it in French, and the other sang...
God Save
the Canada.
I see. Did you give the children report cards?
No, there was no report cards.
You just talked to the parents about how their children were coming along, or how...
Yes, I used to go and visit sometimes some of the parents like that, but when you went to one house, you had to go everywhere. Otherwise, it made difficulties.
Did they receive you well when you went?
Oh, yes. They always respected the teacher, thinking the teacher was superior, like, to somebody.
Did they invite you for a meal at that time when you went in, or was that...
Well, not at the Santa Maria school, but the other place at Lourdes there, I had to go to several families there, you know, because there was a different... They were mostly ministry at this last school, Saint Germain school.
Where did you board when you taught at Saint Germain school?
I boarded at the neighbor, Chaput was the name.
There was no teacherage available?
No.
You just told me it was the neighbor. So did you sometimes go back to school to work at night, or you brought everything with you to your boarding place?
Yes, I brought everything, because they had such a poor, they had only lamp. In the school routine, it was too dark, and I had to bring the ink over to the house too, because it would freeze.
How early did you get to school, and were you the caretaker?
Well, the caretaker was swallowed to the place, to the man where I was boarding.
Oh, Mr. Chaput,
yes,
made the fire and everything for you in the morning.
Yes, he used to go and light the fire about an hour before, and we had two stoves in the cold weather. One was a box stove, and the other was a tin, what did I call it? Airtight. So he lit the two stoves, and we let the airtight go out and kept the box stove on. We had good wood, the tamarack.
You never had, like, your water frozen in the morning when you arrived, and...
We had to throw out the water tonight so it wouldn't freeze.
Mm-hmm. So, but you didn't have to spend a whole hour sitting around the fire to warm up before you could start teaching?
No, it was always warm.
Did these people include you in their family life?
Well, yes, partly.
Did you have a room to yourself, or did you have to share a room or a loft? Or?
Oh, no, they were a young married couple, and there were 3 bedrooms upstairs. And I had a room to myself, and the grandfather, old man Sheffield, he had a room for himself. And the young couple, they had one baby and then another one, and they had their bedroom downstairs.
What did you do on weekends?
Well, I always walked home. I used to leave Friday after school and walk about 3 miles and a half. To home.
Every weekend?
Every weekend, or when we had a holiday in the week, in the middle of the week, it was the same thing. I used to walk home, and the morning the school started, I walked back.
Did you have your lunch at school?
Oh, sometimes I did, and sometimes I didn't. And in the winter time, I used to bring my lunch to school because the children had to stay in, and they used to run around and make up dust. and I was afraid they'd break something.
What was in your lunch, usually?
Well, it wasn't wearing very fuss.
Sandwiches?
Oh, yes, of course, it was sandwiches, and it was always a fruit or something like that. Mm-hmm.
Did you have a hot drink at lunch?
No. I drank water like the others. We had a pail on the corner, and he used to go to the chef, used to get a pail of water and a dipper.
Well,
I had my own cup.
I don't blame you. What, where did that water come from? They had a well or a river?
Oh, yes, they had a well. They were farmers. They had a well in the barn with a windmill and another well near the house, for the house.
The children who had lunch at school, how did they carry their lunches? What did they have for?
Oh, some of them had them in tin pails. Long ago when they had syrup, like a beehive syrup, was in a pail with ammo all. And you would have a large kettle.
Now, you were saying you left the children alone sometimes and you had to go back, but did the children play games?
Well, yes, some of them played games and most of them were. But it's hard to play games in the wintertime because, well, they don't play cards, and the younger ones, they don't know what to do, so they run around.
You had no sports equipment of any kind?
Oh, there was a ball and a bat, and of course you could use that in the summertime.
How about when the first snow came? Did they play fox and geese in a circle in the snow?
Oh, yes. Yes. Some of them came in the wintertime with a dog sled. And they used to tie the dogs in a woodshed at the back. And then one of the trustees wrote a letter and told me not to allow them to put the dogs in there because the dogs, the children had went, the toilets were outside and they used to pass there through the shed there, and some of them couldn't be admitted, some of the school children. So I discontinued, I told them what the trustees had said.
At one time it was sort of the fashion to make gardens at school. Did your pupils do anything like this?
No. Half of the people didn't have any gardens at all of their own. They worked out. I think we were working at the Arctic Ice Company then, in the wintertime. And in the summertime, the university wasn't at that place where it is now, and they were cutting down the trees there, preparing for the university.
As your project at school, did you ever plant trees in the schoolyard?
Well, I planted one tree once, and there was, of course, no water, and so it didn't. The first year there was leaves on it, and I guess it was too much in the open, not protected enough.
Were there any crocuses growing on that land?
No, it was just weeds and grass.
There's not enough sand, I suppose. Now, you just mentioned about the toilets being outside in the shed. Those were the only other buildings on the school ground?
No, nothing at all.
The school was quite close to the river. Were there ever anything that happened about being close to the river?
The school was rather far from the river. But further down, further south, the road was close to the river. But where I was, I think it was about 3/4 of a mile. This school was built on a piece of land that had belonged to this farmer.
So no children ever ran to the river during recess and things like that?
Never went away from the schoolyard.
Were you ever flooded?
No, not in my time.
You mentioned lamps and the heat. Could you describe the interior of the school? When you walked in from the outside, what was there?
There was a hall right across. At first it was a vestibule, a small vestibule, keeping in a cold wind. And then there was a hall right across the front of the school and hooks on the wall for the children to hang their clothes, and they put their lunch below on the floor, below their clothes.
And after this cloakroom type thing, you went in the...
And then they went, there was one door on each side, and then they went in the school. And there was a door at the back and also a window at the back. And the door at the back went in the woodshed where they kept a part of the wood, but the rest was outside. But there was always the full of dry wood, so when the caretaker Katie had more dry wood to start up the fire.
You mentioned a while ago the people where they worked for a living. Did some of them have large farms?
No. These farms had been given to from their grandfathers, and they were divided up as lots, more or less. I don't know how the deeds ever turned out.
Was there a store, a grocery store, or a post office or something nearby?
Well, the post office was at the, which was just in their farm, their entrance, and there was no separate room. It was like a parlor or a sitting room. And this man here used to bring the mail when he came from work. I don't know where he got it from. I think it came from St. Vital. It's from Gaston.
What was this man's name? You said he came with the mail?
Saint-Germain, Simon Saint-Germain. You see, he came from town every day.
I see.
But there wasn't much mail because a lot of those people didn't know how to read.
Do you know the names of other teachers before you or after you at that school?
Well, the teacher before me was Flavie Chaput, and there was Marie-Marie Monchamp. And several years before that, I heard that there had been a farmer who was away.
Oh, I see.
And Alain Champagne.
You knew quite a number of these people. Some were from St. Norbert. Went to school with you?
No, they were older than I was. But I knew that Mrs. Ephraim Rochon, because they had a store at La Farne where we delivered the bread.
Now, did you know any of the other teachers in your area, like other schools around you? Did you ever meet with them at conventions or?
Oh yes, we had conventions and we were introduced to a lot of other teachers around there.
Now, from 1890 on, there were quite a number of problems with the bilingual schools and all the immigrant children. When you were teaching at Saint-Germain school, were you aware of these problems all around, or were you just concerned with your own little...
Oh, we were just concerned with our own problems, because the people that spoke English around there, their children were learning French. And their French children, they were speaking English too. So they were really bilingual, even their parents were, because we were too close to Saint Vital. And when they worked, if they worked in Saint Vital, or otherwise, they were in English.
And you never had at that school a child come, let's say, from Germany and couldn't speak French and couldn't speak English?
No, I never had any.
You did give me names of pupils a while ago, or families. Do you know the whereabouts of any of your former pupils?
Well, there's a lot of them that live in Saint Vital still today. Because I see the names in the telephone room, and there's a lot of them that have died too, and the parents are dead.
Yes. Did any of the children you taught go to Winnipeg sometimes?
Oh yes, but the people there, they had a small horse and a buggy, and they had to go to Winnipeg by wagon or something, because there was no streetcars or anything in there. And then they used to take the children, some children along with them.
Were there any physically handicapped children in your school or in your district at the time, like a lame leg or?
Well, there was one girl there. She had a twisted ankle, and I think she had twisted her ankle perhaps when she was young, and it hadn't been intended to, so she limped a little bit. But that's all. We didn't have any retarded children like.
And no blind pupils or anything like that?
No.
Was the school ever used for any other activity? Like, did they use it for a meeting out of school hours? And
well, if they had meetings in the summer, it was just the trustees, like, it used to come, they'd come to the school. But if it was in the wintertime, well, we used to go to one, and I was often there, because one of the secretary treasurer, he was a little deaf, and so I used to go with him, and we went to one of the trustees, and had the meeting there, what would be decided there. So,
who was this trustee who was a little deaf? What was his name?
Well, the secretary, that's Chaput.
I see. Now, the school was never used as a community hall or for dances or card parties?
Oh, no, it was too small for that.
I see, and never used as a place of worship?
No.
You told me that the school was named in honor of some of the residents around that area. Do you know where those families, like Saint-Germain, where they came from before they settled in Manitoba? Were they from Quebec or?
Oh, I don't know, I couldn't say. Because there's some of the first settlers, and there's some of them, I think, that came, that worked for the Hudson Bay Company long ago.
Some time ago, you had mentioned to me that when your youngest sister was born, you had gone across the river to get a Mrs. Saint-Germain. Would she be the same family, the same?
Yes, the man there was a brother to the president of the trustees.
What was his name, his first name?
August.
What kind of certificate did you have when you taught at Saint-Germain School?
I had a grade 8, which was a grade 11. See, because grade 12, that was the first year of university there. They didn't have any grade 12s in any schools then. Grade 11 was the best in the high schools. The grade 12, that was the first year of university.
So you sort of had the top?
Yes, they could teach with grade 10 already. You see, 3 years of grade 10. But they had to study for the grade 11. 1 year for mathematics, another year for science, and the other year for literature and composition.
Would you remember what your salary was?
Yes. The fixed salary was $50 a month. And if you hadn't been to normal school, it was $45. And I asked for more, so I got $55 that I had shared with teaching. And that was the salary, fixed salary.
How much was your board and room out of that $55?
Well, I paid $15 a month for my board and room. But of course, I was home, my own home, Friday night, and Monday morning, I had my own breakfast at home. And when it was holiday between,
did you ever take any pictures of your pupil?
No, I didn't have a camera then.
That post office name that you mentioned a while ago, was it called Saint-Germain Post Office, or did...
Yes, it was Saint-Germain Post Office.
What's this I read somewhere about Grand Vital? Grand Vital, not Saint Vital, but Grand Vital. Was that another post office?
I don't know about that.
Are there special happenings that you'd like to tell us about? Something about maybe the old lady who had come to school one day. Would you like to tell us about what she did and why she came?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, sure. It's interesting because things like that don't happen nowadays.
Well, she was had difficulty with some other women because she said that they attracted her husband, and then she was going to kill him. And so she came with a gun, which I did not see. And she came to the school. She had a younger boy with her, and she had some complaints about the language he was speaking and this and that. So the one trustee came, and he asked me if she had been on the property, school property, with a gun. I said, I don't know. I didn't even know she had a gun. But one of the pupils said, yes, she had a gun, and she left it in the ditch. And when she went away, she picked it up and went back with it.
How did the pupil see that? How did he know?
Well, he went to the toilet to bag.
Were some of the pupils really interested in learning? Were some really smart and could do?
Yes, some were very smart, and I felt sorry for them. They were in a little school like that, where there were so many different grades and so many children. And there should have been two teachers already when I was there.
Did they play tricks on one another?
I don't remember.
Did they tease one another with ink or send things around the room and things like that?
Well, yes, you know, sometimes.
Are there any other incidents you remember that you'd like to?
No, I don't remember anything to say. Because in those days, everything was quiet when I was in schools.
Did any of the children ever have lice?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
You never caught any?
I know. And I never know. I didn't think about it even.
Was teaching in a rural school in those days challenging?
No. They didn't have enough teachers, certified teachers, you know.
But you found it, like, hard work?
Well, it's really hard work. Because we used to work after school, correct, copy books. In the summertime, when it was light, I used to do it in the school and prepare the the blackboards for the next day with a different work and sometimes some drawings or something like that. And when I didn't, when it was dark and I had to use a lamp in my room.
Did the children do lots of artwork?
I don't think so.
Do you feel that coming out of normal school you were adequately prepared to do this kind of teaching in those schools?
Well, yes, in those schools, in the normal school, is different today than it was in our time. And I think we had more preparation for the little country schools than we did, than they do now. Now they don't have any more than schools.
If you were to spend time in teaching again, would you do the same thing? Would you do it over again? Was it a pleasant experience?
Well, I wouldn't. I'd try and get a graded school rather than, which I could have got, but because I was close to home, that's why I stayed there.
Why did you select teaching as a career in the first place?
Well, my father had teachers, his sisters were teachers. And he told us, he said, I wouldn't have any money to give you when I die, but I'll give you your education. So we went in. We had a good high school. It was one of the first in the province.
That's true. You were attending a village school.
Yes. And there was a lot of children there, and they had a convent with a lot of boarders. They had as far as 80 boarders at a time there, because there was no high school anywhere around. So when they came to the high school there, my father said, if you can't earn your life with an education, he says, you'll have to scrub floors. In those days, you didn't get on the knees to scrub floors. He says, someday, he says, you might need your education.
So it was much better to go into teaching. Was your mother a teacher too?
Yes, she was a piano teacher also. She had her license to teach piano. So was her sister, my aunt.
And where did your mother teach when she was teaching school?
She taught at the major school.
A major school?
A major school in itself, which was then on the corner of Kingsway, but kind of far back. And it wasn't in the school that they said that they moved on St. Anne's Road. It was in a house, an old log house, and she had her lodging at the back. And she had a gay girl staying with her, you know. Gay is there, his great aunt or something like that, Judy Gay.
I see.
She stayed with her there.
Would you know in what year your mother taught there?
Yes. She taught, I think, in 98 and 98 and
99.
1889. Yes. And before that, she taught at the convent music 2 years before.
Is there something else you would like to add?
I just don't think about it just now.
Okay, thank you very much.